Excerpt from Altered Carbon by Richard K. Morgan. After a few minutes, the woman told me to take off the blindfold. I pushed it up onto my forehead and retied it there in its customary position. At my side, the muscle with the machine pistol smirked. I gave him a curious look. "Something funny?"
"Yeah,"
the woman spoke without turning her gaze from the city lights beyond the window.
"You look like a fucking idiot."
"Not where I come from." She turned to look at me pityingly.
"You aren't where you come from. You're on Earth. Try behaving like it."
I looked from one to the other of them, the pistolier still smirking, the synthetic with the expression of polite contempt, then shrugged and reached up with both hands to untie the bandana. The woman went back to watching the lights of the city sink below us. The rain seemed to have stopped. I chopped down savagely from head height, left and right. My left fist jarred into the pistolier's temple with enough force to break the bone, and he slumped sideways with a single grunt. He never even saw the blow coming. My right arm was still in motion. The synthetic whipped around, probably faster than I could have struck, but she misread me. Her arm was raised to block and cover her head, and I was under the guard, reaching. My hand closed on the blaster at her belt, knocked out the safety, and triggered it. The beam seethed into life, cutting downward, and a large quantity of the woman's right leg burst open in wet ropes of flesh before the blowback circuits cut the blast. She howled, a cry more of rage than of pain, and then I dragged the muzzle of the weapon up, triggering another blast diagonally across her body. The blaster carved a channel a handbreadth wide right through her and into the seat behind. Blood exploded across the cabin. The blaster cut out again, and the cabin went suddenly dim as the flaring of the beam weapon stopped. Beside me, the synthetic woman bubbled and sighed, and then the section of her torso that the head was attached to sagged away from the left side of the body. Her forehead came to rest against the window she had been looking out of. It looked oddly as if she was cooling her brow on the rain-streaked glass. The rest of the body sat stiffly upright, the massive sloping wound cauterized clean by the beam. The mingled stink of cooked meat and fried synthetic components was everywhere.
"Trip! Trip!"
It was the chauffeur's intercom squawking. I wiped blood out of my eyes and looked at the screen set in the forward bulkhead.
"She's dead,"
I told a shocked face and held up the blaster.
"They're both dead. And you're next, if you don't get us on the ground right now."
The chauffeur rallied.
"We're 500 meters above the bay, friend, and I'm flying this car. What do you propose doing about that?"
I selected a midpoint on the wall between the two cabins, knocked out the blowback cutout on the blaster, and shielded my face with one hand.
"Hey, what are you—"
I fired through the driver's compartment in tight focus. The beam punched a molten hole about a centimeter wide, and for a moment it rained sparks backward into the cabin as the armoring beneath the plastic resisted. Then the sparks died as the beam broke through, and I heard something electrical short out on the forward compartment. I stopped firing.
"The next one goes right through your seat," I promised.
"I've got friends who'll re-sleeve me when they fish us out of the bay. You, I'll carve into stakes right through this fucking wall, and even if I miss your stack, they'll have a hard time finding which part of you it's inside. Now fucking get me on the ground!" The limousine banked abruptly to one side, losing altitude. I sat back a little amidst the carnage and cleaned more blood off my face with one sleeve.
"That's good,"
I said more calmly. "Now set me down near Mission Street. And if you're thinking about signaling for help, think about this. If there's a firefight, you die first. Got it? You die first. I'm talking about real death. I'll make sure I burn out your stack if it's the last thing I do before they take me down." His face looked back at me on the screen, pale. Scared, but not scared enough. Or maybe scared of someone else. Anyone who barcodes their employees isn't likely to be the forgiving type, and the reflex of long-held obedience through hierarchy is usually enough to overcome fear of a combat death. That's how you fight wars, after all, with soldiers who are more afraid of stepping out of line than they are of dying on the battlefield. I used to be like that myself.